League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Fun Town, everybody. It's Tuesday for us. It is Wednesday for you, and the gang's all here. I'm here. Jeff Oskey's here. What's up, brother?
Hello.
You're looking good, dude.
Thanks, man. I feel good. I look good. I feel good. My grass is growing like a motherfucker. dropping so an jealous. MF in the first 20 seconds of the show. Dude, how's your grass doing there, Toddy?
It's coming in. I just put this new grass down that my dude brought me.
Sod?
Remember his name? No, it's some grass mix. It's like his company makes it. And then he came from southern Indiana and brought it to me. And then there's some like soil enhancement, I don't know, stuff.
Just so we're clear, we're talking about second grass, Jeff. The first grass didn't make it.
Right.
And that's Austin. I'm sorry. You weren't even through Austin your introductions. That's Austin, right?
And me too.
And Jess.
And Jeff. Jess has zero grass issues. She's great.
Yeah.
Fine.
You're correct. And also, you know, not only did I not till as Jeff suggested, I watered once during the heat of the day, which is a big no-no, and I think created a fungus in my yard. So, hey, look at me. Green thumb. It's all me.
You'll live and learn.
That fungus will just compost right up, right?
That's right. But I think I'm more on track with this stuff. I did everything the guy said. I watered in the morning, and I think I'm good. And then we're supposed to get rain now, so next few days. So I'm in good shape, I think. So
Todd, you got a tree cutter guy since we're on?
I don't. Okay. I have a broken chainsaw that I hate. You can borrow that if you want.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's really close to the neighbor's house, but she's the one that crosses the property line. So maybe. Jeez.
You know, you're gonna take it, huh? You're going to make a property line move.
Ooh, I'm ready to get that survey, and I want them to spray paint it. Just be real obnoxious. I want the white and yellow line. Yeah.
We know a survey guy.
Yeah, we do.
Comedian.
This is better than a tree cutter.
Yeah, we can get you a survey guy, though.
Oh, funniest surveyor in the Midwest.
Yes.
Who is it?
I say. Go ahead.
Seth Johnson.
You know Seth.
He's a
good
surveyor?
Good-looking dude. Yeah, yeah. He was on Dynamite Party Hour with us. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Seth.
He's a surveyor.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
The best-looking and funniest surveyor in Indiana.
I am so excited. Oh.
Yeah, so he'll come back for you.
And Seth does, I mean, you're get ready. Don should just go ahead and leave. He's going to be mad about Seth being there. Yeah. I guarantee it. Camp counselor beachy vibes to him. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Donnie will end up getting like a man boner for him probably. I'm like,
yeah,
no,
if anything, you you're going to lose your man to him.
You're going to love
him. Him and Brandon Boyd.
Seth's going to be out there with his shirt off, just sweating. Surveying. Jess would be like, can I get you an iced tea? Yeah, that'd be nice.
He's going to glisten is what he's going to do.
Seth is a damn professional. I didn't even know he does this. I guarantee you he keeps his shirt on.
Yeah.
He probably does a damn fine job. Don't be telling people he's out there shirtless in their yard.
Have you seen how clothes hang on that dude? Yeah, it's like clothes are made for him. He looks great in anything. So he can do a full button-up number and look dashing.
As long as my neighbor is over there frowning, I will be happy.
Oh,
he's kind of like an Indiana Picard, if I had to put my vibe a little bit.
Good call.
Well, he's got that Picard build for sure.
So, Jess, is the cost of the tree coming down going to be on you or on the neighbor?
It'd be on us.
So, is it a big tree?
It's a big one. It's a pin oak. It's probably... I don't know. The last time I had someone...
It sounds expensive. Yeah.
It's just really... It needs... I've had a guy come out before and he's like, we can trim it and treat it. And I was like, okay, well, how much is that? It's like $1,000. I'm like, well, that's not what I want. I think it's probably cheaper just to cut it down.
It's like $3,500 to cut it down.
No, it's way more expensive to cut it down.
Really? Yeah.
It's horrible. And they got you. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean,
I know. In the country, you just, back in Falmouth, you just like cut the tree down. It falls in, you know, the cornfield and you just chop it up at your leisure. No big deal.
Now, wait, hang on. Is this on your property or the neighbor's property?
It's on my property.
Okay.
But my problem is it's close to her house. But in her backyard, she plants this like flower garden and vegetable garden, and she plants it all the way up against my fence. And it's like, hey, I have a foot. My fence is a foot inside the property line. So that's kind of annoying. And I can't even get to the other side of my fence because of all her flowers.
Yeah.
So then there's like all these weeds and vines that grow in her flowers on my fence. And I'm like, son of a
bitch.
And if you see me walking through there, I look like I'm trespassing. And the way she put rocks to make a border as if it was her yard. And I'm like,
she probably thinks it is her yard.
That would piss me off. Yeah, she probably does.
She knows. You can actually kind of tell where she put some of her landscaping before. Like, this, it's a hardcore backyard. Like, I'll have you all over. We'll have a giant bonfire because I hope I upset the neighbors still. And I'll show you.
Do that.
And okay, well, you're dealing with a land grabber now, and that's insane. That's some 1800s type rascally shit, and I don't think I want to go out there.
You know, she tried it with the people before you, and now she's like, oh, look, there's a younger couple here. They're not going to say shit. So you've got to stand your ground. She's just going to keep creeping more. Next thing you know, she's going to like put in a pool that's like half into your yard. Or
oh, man, it's so awkward. I remember the first time I saw her planting ferns behind the fence. And I was like, I just snapped. Like, there was 0 to 60. And I was like, what are you? I go, hi. I thought I introduced myself because I've never actually spoke to you before. And I was like, what you doing? She goes, oh, I'm planting ferns back here. I already talked to you, right? I talked to you. I'm like, no, you didn't talk to me. She's old, too. She's very old, she's very sweet. So I get really mad at her. And then when I'm planting flowers, she'll come over and try to have like this, what she thinks is probably a heart to heart, but she insults me the entire time. Like, why did you get that color? Why did you get the same, you know, same thing? And why are you planting them so close? And you need to do this. And I'm just like, you just need to stay on your property.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How old is she?
Yeah.
How much
cash does she have in the tank?
Is she like make you a pie old or how old?
Like she, gotta be over 70,
but she's doing her own gardening, right?
Yeah. And that's what's killer. Yeah.
She's gonna live a while.
She is from Malaysia, I believe.
Oh, yeah. They live a long time.
So she like is just always outside working hard.
Be sure to tune into Todd's travel show, everybody. Reveals the mysteries of the world to us.
She's sweet. I think she's just more direct. Like, she has no problem telling you what she thinks, as opposed to I'm trying to be polite and I don't know how to. I don't know how to be awkward. Like, hey, you know those flowers you just planted? Why didn't you ask me?
Yeah, why didn't you put them in your yard?
Sorry.
Now, you came through and redid something on that foot. I mean, go big on a foot strip of your yard.
What if I'm allowed, I would just put up the most, I don't know, I guess a tall fence just on that side of my yard.
Can I make a suggestion?
It's not even connected to anything
nope,
else.
Just it's that. Just it's a like visual a wall. Barrier I'm building a wall.
Like a new fence?
Yes.
Why don't you do just a chain link guy around your foot? What, do you have a picket? Or
I have a chain link fence now. That's
double, like a prison.
Half, that'd be funny. So it's literally just...
Oh, yeah, with the Constantine wire at the top.
And I'll just go through it and patrol sometimes.
You can
just
patrol like, in between. Yeah.
With my hoe and my shovel. Like,
it would be hilarious.
I just realized my shirt says wall. That's funny. Jeez. Build anyway. I'm at the point now where I like tweak out if I see her in my backyard. Yeah. It's not healthy. Like, she's actually came over to get stuff out of my fire pit before to use it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wanted to burn those sticks. What are you doing? She asked me what I was doing with my straw hay, or what do you call it? The bale of straw. I'm so rattled right now talking about this. And I'm like, I'm going to use it. And she's like, well, I need it for my, I could use it for my tomatoes. And I'm like, that's cool, but you can go buy some at Tractor Supply. Anyway.
There's no reason I have a privacy fence is because the neighbors, like the first day we met him, I was like, yeah, we're putting up a fence. Like, I needed it for the dogs anyway. But also I'm like, I can't have these fucking people just wander. They would just walk into the yard. We'd be sitting on the back patio. They would just walk right up to the patio and just start talking.
Yep.
Oh.
And not people I really, they're nice, but I don't, like, don't want to have conversation. You know what I mean? They're hardcore Bob and Tom fans. It went on and on and on about, thank God they don't know that I've ever been on that show, because I'm just like, oh, yeah. I didn't dare, because they're like, they love Donnie Baker. Oh, wait,
they were just talking about Bob and Tom?
Yeah.
And they didn't even know you?
No idea. No idea. So I'm just letting I'm like, yeah, I love that show, too. It's awesome. Yeah.
That is insane.
And to kick it all off, the dude looks just like Donnie Baker from the Bob and Tom show. Like, in character, Donnie Baker. I mean, twin build with the haircut wall. And everything.
The wall.
So I'm like, yeah, put it up.
Wall.
So okay. I feel you. Do you have neighbors like that at all? Your neighbors are kind of far away, Jeff. Is that right?
Somebody more famous and funnier than me, and I forget who it is, said the key to good neighbors is a privacy fence. Everyone should have a backyard privacy fence, and you'll get along with your neighbors swimmingly.
Yes.
So my dad always says, fences make good neighbors.
Oh, that's what it was. That's the phrase I am too.
So you just freestyled that privacy fence part.
Yep. Totally.
Jesus, apparently. Jeff. What if somebody's got a little short picket guy and they don't feel like they got enough going on?
Dude, you need the privacy fence. That's
got
the key.
Got to.
Just, but I'm on it. I also have kind of a hill, so technically they can always see me, or my backyard goes into a valley.
Oh,
that's
fine.
I just want to establish, and I grew up in the country.
Establish dominance.
Basically, yeah. I grew up where your property line was established by cornfields and beanfields. So you obviously knew where your land was, and I would never go onto someone else's property.
Unless
I was playing with a kid.
Trouncing around no in the beanfield.
Yeah. You would have got shot where you came up.
For sure. Just a little around. Respect.
That's where my weed is. Like, step on my weed plants.
Crazy Joe's at it again.
He's going to kick over my steel, you little son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What is the old lady's name?
I have no idea.
I don't even know her name.
You know what's even worse? Okay,
I'm disappointed in you.
I don't even know if I should
say this.
You're
the life of the neighborhood.
Maybe you're the problem. What are you doing in your neighborhood?
I thought so. You know what? I'll tell you something off air because I don't know if somebody else listens. Whatever. Anyway, bear with me. And if this is inappropriate, please edit this part out.
Okay.
So before I ever knew who the neighbor was, I lived here like 9 years ago. I moved in with another girl. And again, there was still like a garden, but it wasn't this intense. And I never saw a light on at this house ever. It was like the burbs. And I'm like, what is always going on over there? Because what would happen is like if I picked up the leaves in the yard and left all the bags out in the morning, they were gone. And I had no idea what happened to them. And it wasn't like the trash man. And I was like, what the deuce is going on? Like I couldn't figure it out. Till I looked in her backyard and I noticed they were all back there. She was taking bags from every house.
Yeah.
And eventually I was like, oh, okay, she's composting them, but why wouldn't you ask? Like, it's kind of weird. And then I'm like, if I'm wasting all this time bending over, I could just try to blow them in your. Anyway.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
But
even more weird if she wasn't composting. She just like collects the bags.
My wife collects leaves and she always asks. She wouldn't dare take anyone's leaves.
Well, it's weird to walk and take somebody else's stuff.
But even at this point, yeah. I never saw the neighbor. I never saw a neighbor that existed. I just saw things vanish and appear back there. And I'm like, someone has to live there. And I remember asking the girl, I'm like, have you ever seen the neighbor? She's like, maybe a few times. And I'm like, this is weird. And so I found out. So I used to call the neighbor a ninja. Because I'm like, they're very sneaky. They just come out and you never know. They're stealth-like. And then it turns out she's like Malaysian. And I'm like, ah, oh, geez. And I didn't
she's
mean.
She's the leaf ninja.
Just everything. And she, because you just look outside. I'm like, how did she do that already to her backyard? I can't even mow and then put like one flower out without it being a whole ordeal. And
it takes this weird sort of okey-doke hustle to do that much gardening. It's just a constant little pace you move along at.
Yep.
Oh, man. And so years, I finally saw her. Years. I think it was
years
2 years.
By.
2 years before I ever actually saw her outside. And I'm like, oh, okay, there is somebody that lives here. That's cool. but I never saw a light on at the house. So what, I don't know.
What time of day do you see her, Jess? Is it somewhere around, I don't know, sundown or midnight? Or
well, now, apparently,
is it always like only when it's really overcast she comes out?
Day of the Dead?
No.
Her spirit visits you?
Now she's out there all the time. Now I can't not see her. She's up, literally sun up, sundown. But she told me it's because she loves the heat and the humidity because she grew up in it. Oh. And I'm like, cool, I hate it. She goes, I can't do the cold. And I'm like, I can't either. I'm just a pussy.
I like 70 degrees, low humidity.
Yeah.
Have you ever baked her any bread? Any bread goods? Like, I feel like you should be like offering her like it sounds like you're the bad neighbor. Like, she's just trying to beautify everyone, the neighborhood, and you are trying to put up fences.
You should go get her some shit. Go out into the neighborhood and just find some shit sitting out and take it to her house for her. She'd probably love that.
Yeah, give her a couple bags of leaves. Be like, hey.
Or just like some boards or a half a bike or if anything like that you can find. Just
I'm fighting with myself on this.
It would be hilarious if you baked her a bread, like from scratch, and you went to pull it out of the oven and it wasn't there, and you looked out the window and she was on her back deck just eating the loaf of bread.
That's what would happen. That's how sneaky she is. Like,
thank you.
What the fuck, Ninja?
I had a barrel. Like, Donnie got this new like a bourbon barrel for flowers, right? Using it as a garden pot. And it took me a while to put some stuff in it because I was trying to get the area situated. And she was like, are you going to use this? And I'm like, yes. So between that, the freaking straw and I don't know. But yeah, she's so old and sweet, if you will. I feel bad. But same time, if something happens and she sells her property or her property is all of a sudden available because she's older.
Right.
I don't want that neighbor to think it's their property.
Yeah. So you need to remedy this because you got a window to do it. It's like 2 years to mediate.
Oh, I'm already screwed. But these are my lilies.
You can go out there and stir some shit up. And if she does want to go sell it, what you do is just go put some little stakes down. Yeah. And whoever comes to buy the joint will be like, what's that about?
The string right through her patch of flowers.
Yeah. Bless her heart. I just wanted to know, like, this is mine.
You should plant raspberries along your fence.
I don't know.
They're super intrusive. They'll spread into a garden within half a summer. established weed, berries dropping to the ground, bringing in bees.
That doesn't stop the ninja. She is out there all hours of the day pulling weeds by hand. Like, it's fascinating. I don't get it because I am exhausted watching her and mad because when she's on my side, I'm like, what are you doing? Leave those weeds. But what I am doing is when I feed the squirrels, I start putting it really close to her property line because also deer will come and eat the food and they will also just wander into her garden. Granted, my food probably didn't bring into the yard, but I'm not helping the problem.
It's better than yours.
Mm-hmm. Jess, what do you think about taking a foot of her yard?
Oh, I wouldn't have the balls to do that.
What if we get Todd's crack, construction crew, and overnight we move that fence 2 feet out?
Can Sean Latham pimp my property line?
Yeah. Pimp your easement with Sean Latham.
Maybe we can feed some kind of like sleeping gas into her house somehow.
I don't want to kill her.
24 hours and then we move everything.
Put some vinegar on that bread.
She wakes up and the fence is like this far from her bedroom window all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh. Like, I need to put a zip line in here, so I really need my property back. Which actually a zip line could go in there.
Ooh, for sure it could.
Ooh.
Oh wow.
You need a zip line.
Then you look out, she's riding your zip line.
She would be riding it better than me, and I'd be like even more upset. Like, what?
She's repurposed it to grow green beans on or something. I mean,
you can't put a zip line next door to a ninja. I mean,
I'm just so rattled because whenever somebody does something that I would never do or even fathom to do, it like irks me. And I don't have enough, I guess I'm not an adult enough to be like, excuse me, I'd like to have a conversation about property lines.
Right.
Because she'd be like, well, I thought you said it was okay. I'm like, what? And then I'm off. I'd be freaking out. Like, I never said that. And then I just go inside and I start rocking back and forth, telling Donnie about it for the millionth time.
Oh, man. And
she's won.
She's won, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need to strike back, though. I really do.
I'm with Austin.
Let's take a foot.
One of the funniest property line dispute things I ever saw on like either Judge Judy or one of those was someone had their gravel driveway asphalted, and the guy kind of went wide with it when they did it. Like, they didn't get a and so the next door neighbor got a survey and then rented a Bobcat and just drove down the line and just ripped half of this guy's driveway off.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, 2 hours after he had it paved. Mm-hmm. So of course, the guy, like, takes him to court, and the lady's like, yeah, you can't have your stuff on his property. He can do whatever the fuck he wants with
it. That's his now.
Yeah, that's his now.
That's his driveway that he ruined with a Bobcat.
Yeah, he just completely, and it was hilarious. You could see all the rock falling out from underneath, and, like, I mean, it was like, I would assume a driveway that close to a property line, you get a survey before you pour that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I've never really had a tough one. You know, I have that lady behind me that keeps, you know, she doesn't like the shingles are still back there behind my fence, but they're on my property. Nobody else can see them except her when she walks her dog onto my property. She's the only person that can see it.
Keep your dog off my property.
That's what I say.
What's wrong with people?
If I didn't like dogs, you know, like her dog. And it's a pit bullish dog. Like, you're not supposed to let those kind of dogs just wander about with no. And I can hear it back there all the time, just rooting around on its own. And I'm like, fucking put a leash on that goddamn thing. You know what I mean? It makes me want, but, you know, I can never do anything bad to a dog. But, like, back in my grandpa, if he would have been here, dead dog. Like, he didn't, you know, in those days, and he was just hardcore Kentucky tobacco farmer. When a dog came on his property, it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we had a few of those when I was
growing
up.
People are so, like, spoiled now with the fact that, you know, you can just do whatever you want and let your dogs do whatever you want, and no old man's going to shoot them from their porch. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a different soft world now. I'm like, get a fucking leash on your dog. Like, by all means, like, if I wanted to, I could shoot your dog legally. I'd get in trouble for firing a gun in the city, maybe, but there's no crime against me shooting your dog. You know what I mean?
I completely agree. The fact that we don't murder more pets, we're soft. What happened to us?
So when I was in second grade, I wanted a dog. My first dog I got ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt horrible. My dog, I got it for my birthday. I named the dog Peter. And me and Peter, I love Peter. And
where'd
Peter
that name
ran
come
away.
From?
I don't know. I got to name it anything in the world, and I go, I'm naming that dog Peter. Like, nice. Straight out the, I have no idea why.
It's like Peter Pan, Peter Cottontail,
no
Peter
clue.
Paul and Mary.
I'm guessing it was for a different reason.
No, just.
You weren't just being funny?
No, I was in second grade, or like first grade when I got
I know,
that
I know.
So
Peter Rabbit?
I'm sorry?
Peter Rabbit, right?
No, just Peter. Just Peter the dog. So, Peter dog. And you don't even want to know what I named my next dog. I can't even
Red
say
Rocket.
It any. No, we aren't even going to go there. So, anyway, Peter ran away, and I felt horrible, and I cried for months until my parents went out and bought me another dog. Years later, this was probably 10 years ago, I'm sitting having dinner with my dad at, like, an Applebee's. We're eating all-you-can-eat riblets, because that's
jealous.
How he rolls. And I was like, yeah, I can't believe. I was talking about my dog now, and he goes, yeah, I hate dogs. And I was like, I go, you hated my dog, Peter. He goes, yeah, that's why I drove it out to the country and threw it out the window.
Oh.
And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, that dog was always shitting on my rug, so I took it out to the country and threw it out the window. And I go, you told me that dog ran away. And he goes, oh, I did? And I go, I've felt horrible my whole life that I was the worst dog owner ever. So my dog ran away. And he goes, no, I just threw it out the window out in the country.
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. There's nothing on the Applebee's menu that will smooth that over. There is nothing you can do. That is the worst moment ever. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
It's so bizarre in, like, what a, that's only two generations how much we've evolved to where people just, you know, animals were just fucking animals.
Then, yeah.
And now they're fucking children. You know what I mean? And I'm that way with my dogs.
Oh.
They might as well be kids. You know what I mean? But then my grandpa literally, like, oh, is that a dog in the yard? You know what I mean? And thinking nothing of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it has made the world soft because now you're like, people are just like, well, I'll let my dog go over there. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
My dog go in your yard. What, there's nothing you can do. But two generations ago, you'd have been like, where's the dog? Oh, fuck, get the dog. Old man Nate's going to kill it. You know, freak out.
Somebody's going to kill the dog. Let's go. I just see your grandpa shooting a dog as he just sees it come around a tree, not realizing there's a leash on it and somebody walking by. Oh, my God.
We used to try to shoo the dogs away. It was just a real small little hick town. You know, everybody let their animals run loose except for...
Run for your lives! Yeah,
around Grandpa's house. And we were just like, go, go! Grandpa's awake! Go!
So you just leave the dog in the yard? Like, yep, leave it there for the others. So they know.
Put it on a post.
Oh.
Stick it up in the air.
It's Ned like Stark.
Genghis Khan.
Or, I guess a real person makes sense.
Hey, I got a... fact or fiction, if you guys want one.
Yeah.
Oh, you ready?
Fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction. All right. This is, again, this is celebrity trivia. Are you ready? Okay. The record for the longest time an individual has continuously played poker is 115 hours. That's a fact. The record was set by Phil Lake of Cyprus at the Bellagio in Las Vegas in June of 2010. Now, 115 hours. That's a long-ass time. And you might have already known that this record exists. But did you know that during their preparation for the movie Rounders, Matt Damon and Edward Norton played for 107 consecutive hours, which would have been a record in 1996, but their play was not officiated by anyone associated with Guinness. They simply wanted to put themselves to the arduous task of binging week-long tournament play. Is this piece of celebrity trivia fact or fiction? Austin.
I see just two huge actor egos in a room letting this crazy idea to see how long they can play poker for spin completely out of control. I'm going to go fact.
Okay, fact. We got one fact. Jess.
I'm going to say fact. I think it's too detailed. Either you're too good or these actors were, taking their role a little too serious.
Two facts. One, Austin's fact, Jess's fact. What do you say, Oscar?
That's a lot of hours.
It is.
Like, that's like...
It's over 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost...
Hold on, let me do the math. It's, almost over 4 days, if I'm doing the math correctly.
I'm sure his bathroom breaks.
Yeah. That's a long, I mean, without cocaine. Like,
oh, but, I didn't say that.
But it's
I didn't
Matt
say they
Damon
were without
and
cocaine.
Ed Norton. So I'm sure if they wanted cocaine, it would have no issue finding it.
There's either lots of coke or no coke.
Yeah, I'm going to say, what's the opposite of fact?
Fiction.
Fiction. I'm going with fiction.
Okay, we got two facts. One fiction. This piece of celebrity trivia is indeed fiction.
I knew it.
You know, this. The reason, though, if I was on the other side of this, that I would have probably said fact, is not because of Matt Damon, because I don't think he takes his acting nearly as seriously as Edward Norton does. But that dude's one of those guys that transforms to play the character.
Yeah.
I totally could see him doing something like that.
And I see Matt Damon being like, oh, no, I'm not a serious enough actor, and just getting sucked into the whole thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Talk. You know what? I am not going to stand here or sit here and allow you to say that Matt Damon does not take his acting as serious as Edward Norton.
Yeah, Matt Damon is bigger.
Is just as good an actor just as dynamic.
Oh, absolutely.
Just as wide a range as an Edward Norton. And without having to be a weirdo about it.
Yeah.
Therefore, mad respect to Matt Damon.
I love Matt Damon. I love his movies, except for the one with the wall in China, the Great Wall or whatever. That was a pretty bad
flick.
Wait,
what was this?
Oh, yeah. He took a little break from awesome movies that get critically acclaimed. And like, probably they were like, hey, here's a gajillion dollars.
Yeah.
I'll do this movie.
Yeah.
It was like a utopic world, but it involved the Great Wall of China where they were defending. I don't know. It was weird.
And then everyone ripped him for being a white man in that movie. Like, why would they cast?
Yeah.
An American.
Yeah. Because in China, they're like, oh, fuck Matt Damon. Guys, Matt Damon.
I know.
Two fuck tickets, please.
Yeah, exactly. But I love Ed Norton in movies. I hear, you know, I don't know how he is as a person, obviously. But, you know, the two of them almost, they went for the same role, right? Been the role in Saving Private Ryan was originally to be Ed Norton. And then he backed out of it
because
he didn't think the role was big enough.
Is this another fact of
fiction? No, this is true. This is true.
Okay.
I found this while I was searching, just looking up shit on Ed Norton.
Yes, this is a fact or fiction, Jess.
This is the second one.
Fiction.
And he thought the role was too small. And he's like, I don't want it. That's petty. Because look, now Matt Damon took that role. That movie is going to live forever. Well, even though he didn't have the biggest role, it was a great role.
And it's such like a fantastic reveal of the character. I mean, I know what Matt Damon's in the movie for like 15 minutes or something, but it's pretty great because he just like, hi, I'm Private Ryan. What's up? But it's like, oh shit, it's the guy.
Trying to save him. It's all about him.
I mean, he has some great scenes in there. He has the one where he's cuddled up in the fetal position, covering his ears, crying while the bombs are going off, you know? Yeah,
which is me during war, a fight, just an argument. That's my defense mechanism.
Matt Damon is so cool. Like he'll take a real serious role, and then he'll also do like a little fake Loki cameo in Thor Ragnarok. Like he can be silly. Yeah,
I feel like he's got a good life.
The Bourne movies were just a whole new evolution, I think, to action movies, and he really sold the shit out of that, you know?
Yeah. That was.
I love those movies.
Oh,
I don't. Awesome. And I tried to watch one of them with my kid, and like 20 minutes, I look over, he's gone. He's what? Lost interest. He's, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. It has to establish a plot. My bad.
Took too much time.
I'll see you later.
John Wick, man. Get him with John Wick. You'll love that.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Is that kid appropriate? I've only seen John Wick 2. How weird is that?
Kid?
13.
How old is he?
13? He's seen Death Note or whatever that is.
Oh, it's time for him to see John Wick.
Yeah.
Minus the dog part. Donnie had to fast forward for me because he knew I'd freak out just hearing the.
Talk about establishing a likable character right away. You're going to go kill the people who killed your dog.
Oh, yeah. And no matter what the guy had going on in his life, he's the hero for the rest of the movie.
I don't care how you vote.
Yeah. That's one place. What do you think is the saddest animal dying scene?
Old Yeller.
In any movie. Old Yeller, classic. Of more modern time, you know what one always got me? I still does, is I Am Legend.
Yep.
His Great Dane, because it was going to turn.
German Shepherd, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
right?
German Shepherd. And then the cast iron tub, and he has to choke it out. Like, geez. Because he can't, the gunshot would attract the zombies.
Too loud.
Yeah.
Shit.
Sad. God damn it.
The Walking Dead, when all the zombies or walkers eat the horse, that bums me out. Granted, it's like, it's fake, but man, they put a lot of detail into that horse getting tore up.
So the fact that in John Wick, when he wakes up and there's the blood streak going across the floor, meaning that dog pulled itself to him to check on him while he was unconscious and then died there. Yeah. Get out the sledgehammer. We're digging up the guns.
Hero.
I bet the guys didn't count
I'm
on that.
I'm thinking blood I'm back.
They probably knew. If I was the cleanup guy for the mob and I came in there and saw that blood streak, I'd be like, I fucking quit. This little adorable animal. gave his last to die next to him. No.
What's your favorite movie where the dog doesn't die? Is like the hero. Do you have one?
Homeward Bound.
Oh, Homeward Bound's a good one.
Turner and Hooch.
That's a good one.
People forget about that one. That's Turner Tom and Hooch is a
great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Do cops like Turner and Hooch, dog?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I also like the Jim Belushi one. Canine, the first one. Not like, for some reason, they thought we should make more than one of these, which was a mistake. But the first one with Jim Belushi, I really liked. Yeah. Like, why do we need three of these? You know, I don't know what they were doing, but.
My money is all on Shaggy Detective every time. I have no idea. I've never seen them. I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to see the Shaggy DA movie with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
He turns into a dog.
An asshole.
Which is
good. I thought you were referring to Scooby-Doo. Like, because Shaggy and Scooby.
Shaggy, kind of a detective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. They're trying to solve some mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Getting high, riding around the van.
People forget. They solved some big cases back in the day.
Yeah.
Boy, wouldn't it be great if all crime was like that easy? Like, you got all these, you know, unsolved murders or whatever going on, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, no, it's not the old man. It's, yeah. And then, bam, that's the person who did it every time. That'd be awesome.
I wish it was that easy to disguise yourself.
I know.
Yeah.
Whenever I watch Mission Impossible, like the new ones, when they, you know, they look just like the real person, that surely that's doable now, right? With movie magic and the makeup and the things or whatever. They make the cast of whoever's face you want to look like and the whatever that shit's made out of, silicone or whatever it is. So I always think, like, why don't people rob banks that way? Why would you not, like, if I wanted to, I could just take photos of Austin to some person, make a cast of his face, make the movie mask thing, go in, and it looks like Austin robbed the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not look like a real person instead of just putting a mask on? Like a ski mask or something.
Yeah.
That would be way better. And then you throw the cops work so hard, you know, chasing Austin, trying to put the case on him. By the time they figure out it's not him, they're gonna be like, "Fuck, we got too much in this case already. I'm done." And I've already hit like 20 banks.
They figure out right away when they realize I don't dip. Yeah. Dipping in that bank? What are you doing?
You still have to put pantyhose over the masks. So you like are trying because people just walk in and
just took it a whole new level. I get the Austin mask and put pantyhose over the top.
See, I saw you just at that point. No, you don't wear pantyhose. You hand out my business cards. You show my driver's license to people. You make it very clear who did it, Todd.
Or you just go to withdraw the money from his account and say, "I don't remember the number.
Yeah,
but look, it's me. Check the picture on your computer."
What am I, Scrooge McDuck, Jess?
It's like The Simpsons.
Mr. Real. Mr. Real.
I'm Mr. Real. Oh, God.
I want you to take 2,000 of this money and deposit it directly into my account. It's Austin Real. Here's my account number.
Is this an offshore's account? Whatever.
This is the weirdest robbery of all time.
Do you want to know what's weird? Like, you can't go into a bank. Like, I can't go into a bank and go, "Hi, I don't bank here, but my friend Todd McComas does. And I want, here's $5,000 and I want to deposit it into his account." And they'll be like, "Nope." I'll be like, "No, I'm not trying to take any money out. I'm trying to give him money." And they're like, "Nope." And they're like, "I don't understand why I can't just give this person some money since his account's here and you hold his money."
Isn't that the biggest bunch of bullshit?
And for family, you can't do it.
Isn't that what they're worried about, maybe?
Well, that, and like, you can't just give someone a certain amount of money without taxing them.
But I also think it's bullshit. Like, if you write me a check, and I know people don't write checks that much anymore, but say you write me a check and it's from your bank, obviously. And let's say I don't have a bank account. So I go to your bank to cash the check.
You go to my Chase bank.
"You don't bank here. Sorry, I can't cash it." It's like, "But your check. It's your check." You know,
they won't cash their own checks?
You have to also bank there. At least at most of them. And I only know this because a lot of comedians at one time didn't have bank accounts, yeah. You know, many of them, and you would write them a check, and they're like, and they would always, oh, I can't go, you know, they said I couldn't cash it because I don't have an account there. We're like, oh, man, what do you want us to do?
Most of the places will do it, but they'll charge you.
Fee?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we'll do that, but it's going to be like $20 or like 1% or, but that's from my knowledge of having the, being one of those comedians.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem cashing a check at that bank, but I've always had to pay a fee.
Gotcha.
So where would you go? Is that like when you go to Kroger or Meijer or something and cash
John,
a dinner?
John's Liquor Store downtown. They used
like
to
like a bail bond
checks.
Place?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. You go up to the counter and you go, yeah, I want to cash my paycheck. And they go, okay. And they take like 1 or 2% of your check for cashing it. And you walk out with the cash.
How many people have had to go to one of those check advance places ever?
Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. Yeah, I did that back in the day.
I used to have to do it through a spell there. Like, it's humiliating, I feel like.
A whole new level of humiliating.
Yes, because you're sitting in there and you're surrounded by people who, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't belong there any more than anybody else, but you're like, Jesus Christ, where does my life become? Like, I'm having to get an advance on this next check because I have $0 in my bank account right now. Oh, and yeah. I need this, you know, now.
And they're even like, hey, so we can give you $200. You're going to have to pay back $600 in 3 days.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're going to owe $12,000. And you're like, you're like, okay, yeah, I'll sign that.
Right.
Because yeah, I need the money. I have no choice. Oh, oh yeah. No, we aren't done fucking you yet, sir. Oh, I know. But I need to go and get my car fixed. So I have no other choice.
Yeah. It's almost like the prison system. Like once you get in, it's very hard to get out of that cycle because they take so much money from fees and shit from you. Your check isn't your check anymore. It's missing important money. And you're like, fuck, now I got to go back again because I didn't have enough to cover all my bills this time. And you get in this vicious circle.
The bank I used to bank with or whatever, they would offer cash in advance based off of your deposits that your paychecks that you were depositing. So you could get up to a certain amount and then you'd owe 20%. With the next check that was deposited. So it's like, cool, I got an extra $200 because I'm out. And then the next check, it's like,
But that's a nice bank.
It's a vicious cycle.
I won't rob your bank, I promise. Okay. That's a nice bank. Austin will rob it. You'll think it's Austin.
Yeah.
It's really me.
Speaking of that, Todd, what's one thing that people would be surprised about when it comes to people who rob banks? Like, is there like a common... Have you noticed a common denominator? Was there something that you always came across when it came to bank robbers you were dealing with? Is there something that stood out as different from other criminals?
They didn't get no money from it. That was my first surprise. It's like, they're only getting like $1,200 out of this bank because they only get what's in the drawer, you know, at most banks. I told you about the one where they did have access to the safe, and that was a big hit. But usually it's like whatever's in the cash drawer, right? But then also you'll notice that they're mostly white dudes and a little older than your average criminal, at least in my experience. They were like middle-aged, minimum age. I don't know if it's just if they think, you know, that's more like this is an adult crime, you know? Like, it's just, you don't go into banks until you
I'm grown up now. I'm ready. Yeah.
I'm sure younger people do hit banks now, but...
You start at lemonade stands and work your way up.
Yeah. Jeez. We had this one dude, he was an old dude. And, I mean, he was probably... 60, those early 60s, and he was robbing always with a note. He would walk in. This was his MO. He'd walk in, grab a deposit slip, put it on the counter, start filling it out, but really he was writing out his robbery note, and then he'd walk up and he'd hand the teller the robbery note and get the money and walk out. But every damn photo, surveillance photo, they had him had his same clothes on, same hat, all this stuff. And they had identified who he was, but didn't have any idea where he lived or anything. So we end up, my boss, he used to work nothing but bank robbery on this FBI task force. So he was really good at, like, he would put pins and maps and he'd try to figure out. He's like, all right, all these, you know, see how he created a circle, all the places he's hitting. So he lives somewhere in the middle. He's just going around the perimeter on the outside. So he lives somewhere over here, and it's going to be one of these two banks next that he hits. And we're like, okay, awesome. So we all set up. Each got a bank to set up on. Our bank, the dude shows up, gets out, and we're like, oh, my God, that's him. And he walks inside and comes running out at a full sprint, like it's, well, you know, full 63-year-old man sprint. And he's running through the parking lot. And there's this, we jump out, guns out. We're like, get on the ground, get on the ground. And he still has the note in his hand clenched. And what happened was we had, you know, handed out flyers to all the banks in the city, basically. And we're like, hey, this is the guy's picture. Watch out for him or whatever. So when he went in there, he's filling out the note and he hands it to the teller. She looks at the note, looks at him, looks to her left at the flyer, back to him, back to the flyer, back to him, and screams bloody murder. So he just takes off running like a little bitch with the note in his hand, running out. He just gives, I don't have a gun. We're like, we know.
I wonder what that moment's like when you're a criminal and you see somebody looking at you and doing the TV or the news report or the wanted poster. That's got to be the worst.
I know.
And he's like people, a handsome fella.
Do people normally get busted off of like wanted posters?
I mean, some. Yeah, you know, the like here we have Central Indiana Crime Stoppers. Like you can tell, like even you could drive down the street in some parts of town, and like you'd be patrolling along, and then when they come across you, they turn their face kind of like this. You're like, oh yeah, that dude was just on Crime Stoppers last night. You know, like it gets around. People call in tips on them because they give you like, I don't know, $100 and you don't have to leave anywhere who you are. They give you a secret code to go, you know, use to cash in on it. So it's pretty effective, I think. And then, you know, you ever work loss prevention? Anybody work loss prevention in stores? Like we have the chronic shoplifters and they always have photos of them, you know?
We technically weren't loss prevention in our store, but we had to pretend we were loss prevention by doing the secret shopping and giving excellent customer service to prevent shoplifting. But it was always like you knew who it was when they walked in because they would have like a small purse. And the next thing you know is they had like three big purses on them and they were also full. And you're like, huh, you didn't have those purses when you walked in. And where did all my baby clothes go? They're all in your purse.
Big ass purse.
Yeah.
So annoying. And if you go, can I help you? Are you finding everything okay? Do you need help finding another size? Because you're timid. You know what they're doing. And they're like, back up. And you're like, oh, God. Like manager. And then they accuse you of harassing them.
If bank robbery is like the more astute, like, you know, middle-aged crime, then shoplifting, that's like teenager. But some people, like, who's the actress that got busted for shoplifting?
Winona Ryder.
Yeah. Winona Ryder. Like, she has some kind of sickness or something. Like, she was
like
compelled.
A compulsion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird to me.
Dude, I have met so many people as adult. Like, I'd never stolen anything in my life. Well, I take that back. That's a total lie. I stole money out of my mom's purse multiple times. But yeah, I never stole from a store.
Right.
And, like, I was talking to Maggie one night. Oh, yeah, I used to shoplift all the time when I was a teenage girl. And I'm like, I was telling somebody else, and they go, yeah, you didn't? Like, I used to shoplift all the time. And, like, I met so many adults who shoplifted as teenagers, and it never even dawned on me to do it. But I know a lot of adults who are like, oh, yeah, I used to shoplift.
What's the condition? The
kleptomaniac?
Kleptomaniac. So is that what Winona Ryder was? She just.
I think so, yeah.
That's such a weird
to like, have to steal.
You're in somebody's house. You can't leave until you've taken something from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird
fucking, trophies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Serial killer shit.
It is. I mean, my cousin and I had a little system when we were kids. We'd go into, I think it was Kmart at the time. And if we saw something we wanted that was way more expensive than what we had money for, we would go and get like a Nerf football and we would peel the price tag off and put it on that item. We'd peel that item off and put it on the Nerf football and we'd take our item in and scan it. It would work every time. And now looking back, I'm like, these had to be the most stupid fucking employees of all time, or just didn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like a Nerf football at that time probably cost like $1.30, and we're getting like a big giant robot, you know, or remote control airplane or whatever we wanted for $1.37. It was awesome.
So they're probably just give them the toys to grandpa and kill your dog.
that's Nate's grandboy. Just get him out of here. Jeff, you had some books that you brought on. I was intrigued by the cover of the one.
503 World's Worst Dirty Jokes, the rudest and crudest and most outrageous jokes. People, when they find out I am a so-called stand-up comedian, they give me shit like this. And this was written in, God, I should pay attention to school. Where's this thing?
You're like, this was books.
1982 is the publishing rights, but as you'll hear from some of the language, it's more like 1922. This looks like a little poem. I just randomly picked this. This is number 226 out of 503. And I, Jessica, I apologize. Joyous maiden, open cunted, who all days keenly hunted, hardened pricks of good proportion, how did you elude abortions? There's more.
Okay, hang on. Are these all like little limericks like this?
No, this is just one limerick among other. This is the limerick that I was reading right there. How about you guys give me a number between 1 and 503, and we'll see if it can be read out loud.
Let's do 101.
101.
Ooh, good number.
101, Austin. Okay, pick a different number. It's way too long. Okay, I'm going to go with 104 because it's
perfect.
More,
nice.
Same. Two Cockneys met at a public urinal. What's the first symptom of syphilis? I'm sorry, Ari. What's the first symptom of syphilis, Ari? I don't know, Alf. Why? Me cock just came off in me hands.
That's like a little kid joke.
What little kid is telling that joke? Jessica, give me a number.
What's 503? What did they finish with?
What's the big closer that they're gonna go with? Okay, why don't you guys talk amongst yourselves while I try to find this?
I wonder how much research it takes to compile a book like this.
Well,
503 dirty jokes.
Okay, 503. This says, this limerick is a favorite of its author, who also happens to be the author of a flock of bestsellers. What a mind. Now, here is the limerick. There was a young man from Glengarridge.
Got me.
The fruit of a scoffless marriage, who sucked off his brother, then buggered his mother, and she ate up his sister's miscarriage.
Jeez.
That's a, for
that real a joke?
Joke.
I gotta that say, that's this thing ramps up at the end. I mean,
they go hardcore for the throat at the punchline.
That is insane. Also, is this some sort of weird Irish town funny? That we need to be in the know on or something?
This does sound very like old world Irish humor for sure. What's the author's name?
There isn't. It's just a compilation that doesn't say.
No.
The foreword was written by Al Goldstein.
I tell you what.
As Tom Griswold always says, comedy does not age well. A lot of comedy does not age well.
Well, what's 502?
It's super long.
Super long. Go with
503.
Go right in the middle with to, I can't even do math, 251.
251, this is just a alphabet. 251 is the letter A. A stands for anus, the invert's delight, the back door of wisdom, the pedestrian's, the pederast's right. All joys, say the gays, seem flaccid and stale compared to the thrill of their own brand of tale.
That one's actually pretty well crafted. That one makes, you know what I mean? Compared to the others where they were just like, all right, let's just give me the worst visual image ever.
Actually, such a loose grasp of English as it is that I'm concerned I don't even know what I heard there.
You know what? It's probably because I didn't enunciate or pronounce a lot of the words correctly.
No, I said some big ass mumble pretty good, Jeff.
Here, let's try the letter D. D stands for danglers, more coarsely termed nuts. So dear to the heart of Senate, sedate dames and sluts, an asset in bed play, their beauty enthralls, but it's not so much fun to get kicked in the balls.
See, I mean, this guy, the alphabet guy, he's better than the rest of them. You can tell he's a little level above as a writer than the rest of them.
He's never had sex because balls are never like a good, they never make a big entrance. You know what I mean? No one's.
I go balls first when I intercourse. I stuff my balls in there and then work my penis in.
You get your balls out first too? Like, make sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you kind of slap, whip it around like a tail, like, oh, and the dick's here.
Balls, get in there. Make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, I stuff one ball and then the other. And then if it likes how it feels, then I send old Mr. Winky in.
Now, so you just hang out one ball to check and then send in the penis.
Like putting your toe in water.
Yes. I can see that.
They're like your forward observers.
If you just pop one nut through, that sack's going to tighten up a little bit. That's presentable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like a weird turkey gizzard that you're hanging out, but it's like a real...
Your balls like are nice, like...
plump half sack.
Your dick has like its own secret service. Your balls are like clearing every room before he goes.
Yeah. All clear.
Okay, Mr. President.
Yeah. Bring in penis. Bring in Jeff's penis.
Wait, what do they do for X? Because now I'm like really, I'm curious because X is hard.
Oh, yeah, you would, it's probably. And it would probably help if I wasn't the one reading these. X marks the spot where the itching begins. Sometimes on the joystick, sometimes on the shins. Sometimes it's the clap. Again, it's the gleet. The worst place to get it, the base of your seat.
At least that one I felt like I followed the entire time. Yeah.
I like how they use shins just because it rhymed. Like shins have nothing to do with
it's an STD on your shin. See, that guy starts foot first.
Oh man, foot first.
Oh my gosh. You know what? We're gonna do a couple more of these. These are just
I like these. It's like we're entering the minds of people from yesteryear, you know?
And the best part is it has, like, the big, fancy, like, first letter. I know the people listening can't see, but it's got, like, the fancy typeface.
Yeah.
Q stands for quickie, a rapid-fire shot, great stuff for the backseat, or studio cot. No time-wasted busing or tickling the dick. Just undo the breeches and plunge in the prick.
That guy's a wordsmith. He's got some real talent. He's wasting it in that book, but he's got talent.
I don't know. I think maybe this was the best thing he should have done. I feel like it's really good that this is all he hopefully did.
O stands for odor, the most fragrant rise from Nubian snatches and Balinese thighs. The impotent diddler finds life's greatest thrill just catching the scents at the base of the hill.
At the base. base of the hill. All right, Austin, explain the symbolism for me.
The base of the hill?
Yeah.
Like, is just talking about, like, just right down there?
What like am I missing? Like, I know I'm missing it, and I shouldn't. What's the base of the hill?
Like, the base of the pubis?
Yeah,
the mound.
The pubic like the little bowl, if you will. Nice. Okay.
You know, like the pubis mound. What would you say, Jess?
What's? I don't even know.
Basically, what?
I'm so disgusted right now.
The guy can't get it up, so he goes down. I mean,
he just whiffs it up. He just sniffs the panties. He's all about the odor.
That's dirty alphabet. I don't know how this guy didn't get his own book. Is he part of a bigger book? It should just be the dirty alphabet guy.
Jail, or probably because no one wants, I mean, he can't put his name all over this. He'll get arrested.
He did get a big section, though. Do you think that, like, he was their big grab? They're like, oh, man, if we could just get the dirty alphabet guy, well, this thing's really going to take off.
Like, this seems old, but then you see this, and it goes, J stands for jockstrap. Like, so this can't be that old.
No.
J stands for jockstrap to hold up the plums.
How old's a jockstrap?
My dad wore them, I know, and he's in high school.
My dad used to always be like, hey, we're going swimming. Go up and put on your jockstrap. And, like, it still did the...
My dad wore them.
Why did you have to wear a jockstrap when you were swimming?
I have no idea to this day why I had to wear a jockstrap while I played basketball, while I did. Like,
well,
the only reason.
You don't need a bag,
like if you. Like, I understand wearing a cup and a jockstrap to hold a cup, but to wear a jockstrap with no cup is, first of all, I will say it, the gayest look ever on any man. If you've ever seen a guy just in a jock strap, it's the most disgusting.
There was just some athletic director guy who liked little boys' asses that designed that thing. Because it's just two weird little straps that leave your whole ass cheeks exposed. Like, why not just give me like a little tighter underwear thing to put on? Yeah. If you're just trying to hold my balls. And by the way, I'm 11. It's like my balls are swinging down on my knees. You know what I mean? I barely have balls at 11.
Wear a thong, right?
Yeah. If I'm not, like you said, if there's no cup going inside there, why am I wearing this
thing? I have no idea. But it used to bother me every time. Hey, we're heading to the Fairland Beach. Go throw on your jockstrap.
Did they prevent erections?
Nothing.
Or if it keeps it down.
I can answer that question. I can answer that question. Absolutely not.
Yeah. They're not going to do anything.
I mean, they aren't bringing them on, but they aren't pushing them away.
Right. Huh.
I have no idea what the point is.
I didn't know you didn't wear it without the cup in it.
Yeah. You used to have to wear them all the time. Like for basketball, for instance. And I'm like, Jeff, why is this? I have underwear. Why?
And everyone was rocking whitey tighties, right?
So, yeah.
We weren't wearing boxers. Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah. No, I was straight Fruit of the Loom till I was old enough to buy my own underwear.
Oh, yeah. Remember the underoos?
Oh, I had one pair.
Fucking love that. I had Spider-Man underoos. I used to wear the Spider-Man underoos t-shirt to school. Like when I first got it, I wore like 4 days in a row. To school. The kids are making fun of me for wearing the same shirt and all. It's like, I don't give a shit. I'm Spider-Man. Look at me. Look at this dodgeball game now. I'm way better.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun one. I like that book. We have to revisit that book again. I like it.
G stands for Jism, the grandest of goos, gelatinous gravy. Omnipotent ooze. It shouts from the bungs of all vertebrate cocks and breeds the most varied of domestic stocks.
Easy for me to say.
The best part of that is I just would assume Jism started with a J.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it does. Started with a J. It does in my head. This guy is just out of his mind. Why G wouldn't stand for G spot of all?
I bet you can't have the Limerick guy and the alphabet guy in the same room together. They probably
can you imagine that scene?
Fisticuffs.
Gets real territorial in there real quick. It's like a giant pissing contest.
Yeah. They probably have a poem about it.
Yeah. So I pee is for pissing. Yeah. Jeez. I do it. Yeah. This is fun. That's a fun book.
It is.
Well,
it is.
At least the ones, some of the ones we heard.
I mean, let's be, it's a horrifying book, but it's fun to play with. It's like a gun.
Yeah. It is.
Let's get the book out and see who hurts themselves.
Well, next week I have a joke book from 1938 that I that we can play. Let's see which one of these jokes will get us thrown off a podcast.
The world of 1938 comedy. It's going to be pretty racist. It's going to be so much fun to revisit. By the way, like Don Rickles, you know, couldn't exist today, killed it in his lifetime. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot of that shit in there. That'll be fun. I look forward to it.
How could you do that act? How could you start out doing that act nowadays?
There's no way. Like those roasts they used to do when it was pretty much, let's just make fun of Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah. The whole roast, every roast that they used to have was just all the cool white dudes getting up there and making black jokes at Sammy Davis Jr.'s expense. And people loved it. Frank Sinatra gets on there, black joke about Sammy Davis. Boom, boom, boom. And then Sammy Davis would get up there and then make a black joke about himself. And the people are like,
These don't sound like very cool white dudes.
Well, it's because you weren't alive in 1940. And everybody thought it was so great. Then you watch that real movie about him. And he would go to those things and he would go cry in his room afterward.
Oh my God.
People wore a tux to a Klan meeting pretty much.
They're such a horrible people.
Really? He used to go cry after those things?
Yeah, like it really fucked him up.
Oh, my God.
Aww. Jesus. I thought I was the only one who cried after roast.
No, a lot of people cry after him.
Actually, I've never... If you cry after a roast... Now, he had all the right in the world.
Yeah.
But, I love when people, hey, we're doing a roast. And then they fucking... they can't talk to you for, 3 years after. It's like, come on, you pussy. You want to play roast.
The ones where everyone's up on a panel, I think... are the roast battle ones they do now, in every city has roast battle shows. You at least get to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. I have seen some people take their 5 minutes at an old school, dais style roast and just go after one person. And it's brutal. I mean, somebody just gets crushed. I've seen people as soon as the show's over, tears start running.
Really?
Comedians are fucked up, fragile people a lot of times. I mean, they don't need to be.
That's true.
Half of them don't need to be doing that.
I remember a roast when Todd McComas lost a relationship because of somebody opening his big mouth at a roast. I just talked to Matt Clemens earlier today.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matt went up and roasted Todd and let out a little too much info and ruined a relationship.
Oh, my God.
It's fair game, though. I signed up for it. I didn't get mad afterward.
You did. I mean, you took it like a champ, but you're the only one I know who lost a relationship because of a roast.
I forgot about that until you said it.
Sorry.
He hosted too, right? Didn't he host that? He was so funny. God damn.
And the thing was, were you even part of the roast or were you just in the crowd?
Yeah, because it was it Holtz roast?
Yeah, it was Holtz Matt going Holtz away. Roast.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on, because I was on the panel and you were on it and then Clemens hosted. And I forget who else was on there, but that was a good roast too, by the way.
That was
a good roast.
He
did you a favor, right? Get rid of the excess baggage.
That's right. If you can't make it through that, you're not going to make it. You know what I mean? So did me a huge favor. But I forgot all about that.
I don't think it was a huge favor that night or the next day or the day after that or the week after that when she had to move out.
Do you remember what it was, what he said? I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember.
Do you want it on the podcast?
Yeah.
Do you want to hit?
No, I don't.
It was something about you still having sex with one of your ex-wives. And you were there with like your new girlfriend.
That's
and
right.
He said something about she's not even aware of you still having sex with your ex-wife.
Oh man. Now and, that now
that's right.
If you weren't actually doing that, Todd, that's a shit corner to get painted into for sure.
It would be.
Even if you were, doesn't that violate bro code a little bit?
Probably? Oh, yeah, totally.
But it was a good-ass joke. I mean,
the way he, it wasn't just like, hey, was, here's Todd. Like, there was, it was like, it was suggested that, you know, Todd can get any woman he wants. You know, he's got a perfect lady and he's still banging his ex. Like, he's got all the, you know, he's got all the women lined up kind of thing.
They were like, oh.
Yeah, and the look on her face was like, well, we're fucking done.
Like, and at that point, right, you know, I'm up there like by Jeff and the rest of them facing. So then you just got to go through just like, yes, yes, beautifully, well done. Because it's over anyway, you know what I mean? So now it can be like, oh, no, baby. And you just run off like in the middle of the roast.
Oh, man.
It was not pretty. I still feel horrible about that for you.
Oh, I'm glad it happened, though. Jeez.
And now Matt doesn't even do comedy. He ruined your life and he doesn't even do comedy.
He's anymore. A fucking teacher.
Oh, nothing.
God damn it, helping youths.
Now you just got to show up in Matt, class.
And Matt Holt never left for L.A. The whole thing was a farce. Oh,
the entire thing was a sham.
It was all a big ruse to fuck up Todd's life.
Todd's like, I need to get out of this relationship, but I don't have the balls to tell her that I'm not don't want to get married. So how about we're going to set up a roast? And one of you just casually mentioned how I'm still begging my ex-wife. And then she'll
check with my ex-wife real quick.
I want that to be in a movie that plans so elaborate. All right, Matt, you're going to pretend like you're moving to L.A. for comedy. And we're going to throw this benefit roast to raise money. That means you're going to roast. So you're going to say this thing about just to get out of the relationship. Oh, my God, it's funny.
I wish you would have brought your ex-wife out now. Like, and here she is.
She does 5 minutes.
All right. Well, this has been a fun one, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, fun guys.
Fun town for me.
Fun town. Finally, we hit it. Erased whatever. I had a shitty day today, so this was perfect. Always good to laugh with my friends. I feel a lot better. Anybody got anything to push? I have a date in Indianapolis. Just got it. Russell Peters canceled at Helium in Indianapolis. So I will be there 26th to the 29th.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I'm going to try to get Jeffy on there. So I don't know. I just got this before. Are you staying out of the public or?
I'm going to be in South Carolina that week.
Okay. Awesome. But Russell Peters and I pretty much share the same demographic as well. So we're pretty similar comedians. That should go well for anybody who bought tickets for him.
It'll be seamless.
To see him. I always love that when he takes somebody else's place and then you have all the people that bought tickets for them coming there and they're like, you're not Russell Peters.
Dude, they did that for Nick Thune. He canceled at Crackers. They didn't tell any of the people who were coming that he canceled. And just they're like, and here's your headliner, Jeff Oskey. And everybody's like, where the fuck is Nick Thune? But then the even weirder thing was after the show, I had like 20 people come up and go, dude, I am a huge fan. I love and like started listing all this Nick Thune shit off. And I'm like, I'm not Nick Thune. Like, you really, like, I don't even have a guitar or good jokes or. Nor am I beautifully handsome. Like, you morons, you just sat here for 45 minutes listening to me talk about my kid, and you think I'm Nick Thune? I'm glad you paid $22. Get the fuck out of here, you morons.
My favorite is I had to fill it last minute for Kostaki's ex, baby mama.
Oh, Caroline Ray.
And you talk about an audience that was not ready for me. Caroline Ray, Sabrina the Witch fans, not my demographic, turns
really?
Out. Yeah.
No teenage.
It was all these young girls that were just hoping they could meet Caroline Ray. And I'm like, hey, ladies.
Hey, Todd.
This is Get out of here, Hilda. Get out of here.
So anyway, that's happening July 26th to 29th. And then Dayton, August 6th and 7th, something like that. All on ToddComedy.com. And Evening at the Authors, you guys just put a thing out, right? again?
We just did a live show.
Yeah, the live show. Was it your first live show since all this happened?
Yeah.
Well, how did that go?
It went good.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean, surprisingly.
Did it feel good? Like, did you have like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a little like you could feel us knocking the rust off of it a little bit at first, but
yeah,
it was good though. I mean, crowd was good, so I mean, they're at a fraction of the capacity, but
yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, still feels good.
A lot awesome. a lot of precautions in place.
Yeah,
so there's a lot more going on backstage now than there used to be. Everyone's all spread out. You got your own little microphone cover.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Several mics at play, all being sanitized and stuff. That's my concern with comedy right now, is the microphone.
Yeah,
because I'll tell you what, you ever go later in a show, that thing fucking stinks, man. It smells like cigarettes and Miller Lite. So I know
a lot of saliva hits the head of a microphone during a show. Oh, for sure.
Years ago, I got a nice professional microphone from my brother, and I so badly wanted to bejewel it and like start carrying it in a case and do like a pool stick kind of type of thing when I would show up, like make a big presentation about getting out my own microphone and plugging it in.
There is nothing worse than brought my own pool stick energy. I can't imagine.
Well, no, the funniest thing was, I don't know, 3 years later, I'm at an open mic. This dude walks up there, opens a case, pulls out a bejeweled mic, unplugs the one, plugs it in. And I was like, I'm so glad I didn't do that. This is so stupid. But now, in today's day and age, maybe a pretty good idea.
That's not a bad idea to have an open. Every open micer that's been doing it for a minute should have their own microphone anyway. And yeah, so that would be like, it's a bringer show, bring your own mic instead of bringing
people. The hack comics would come up and like, they used to like light a cigarette and like take a few puffs and like have some drinks and then like turn, like we had people bring in actual time clocks and set them on the stool and then like, oh, well, you start your job the second you get into work, and now they're going to go up there with Lysol wipes and fucking sanitizer and clean the whole microphone and make that their bit.
Yep.
And I can't wait to boo them from the back of the room.
You know what I could see actually happening, though, is that, I mean, your local club will be like, listen, these are the mics we use. You got to fucking buy one. And it's wireless or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
so bring your own shit.
We'll pick up your mic. You go
those up. Mics cost like $40.
That's what I mean. It'll just be an expense that you have.
By the way, this would be my favorite thing in the world, is if we could create a show to where it was newer open mic comedians going up just in front of Jeff, and Jeff's like the judge, and Jeff just rips them down, would be my favorite thing in the world. I've never seen that before. What, the you fucking hack? Like, oh, yeah, no one's ever come on stage with the time clock thing. Genius.
Oh, just my
fucking
God.
Ripping open micers would be awesome.
I volunteered to be the first one you tear up, Jeff.
I am very, anyone who's got any open micer who's been stuck talking to me, I'm very... I try to be very nice and very, very understanding and try to point them in the right direction. Unless they're an asshole. And then I'm just like, no, you keep doing that, buddy. That's fucking working for you.
I just love it because you always spot like the immediately. I just get numb, I guess, and I'll just be looking around and you'll be like, geez, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're right. Like, what? Another fucking... parents lie to their kids about Santa Claus fucking joke, you know what I mean? Like, it would just went right by me, like, oh, this ain't a good joke, but you'd been like, Jesus Christ, you hack. Jess, if you anyone lives in the Annapolis area and you like have a tree cutting business and you would like to maybe get a little shout out on the pond for cutting down that tree at a decent rate, let us know. Hit the DMs, because yes, she's got a tree that's got to come down. Or there's going to be real problems with that ninja.
And not some dude with a pickup truck and like licensed, bonded, and insured. So yeah, when you drop it on our neighbor's house, Jess isn't getting sued for $500,000.
Yeah. Not to be rude, but you can't come inside because I know what happens. I turn my head. The next thing you know, they're in my underwear drawer.
Exactly. So. We'll be there to supervise.
Don't send me DM. Don't send me.
Yeah, send them to Todd.
Send it to me. I'll screen it.
Yeah.
And
Because yeah. I haven't checked my Facebook Messenger in like.
If you're just thinking this is a way you could get some one-on-one time with Jess Osmond, not happening.
It's probably going to be you deal with Donnie.
A lot of
Donnie. Deal with the Don. Yeah. You go through me, first level screening, and then the Don. The Don will handle the tree cutting. But that she needs a tree down. So seriously, if you have skills, you know somebody in the area, we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Other than that, hey, we'll talk to you guys next week. You're awesome. Please rate and review and share this pod with all your friends. We are out.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.